Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Rick Yaskowitz with a message called Quickening Our Mortal Bodies.
I don't want my voice to be heard. I want the Spirit of God to be heard. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know He has a plan for us, and it's been set before the foundations of the earth. Over the last 3 months, I have agonized, or 2 months, about different things, and with health and with different things in our church and things like that. But in looking to the Lord for what, if I would say anything, I said, Lord, I can't do this without You. I never could, and I never will. And the thing that kept pressing into my heart was, I'm going to do a new thing. Can I not do it? I will do a new thing. So I don't know how the Lord puts these things together. I wouldn't even attempt to. What we need to be is instruments for God in the ministry that He has given us, and do that with the ability that God gives us, and He will fit it together in the way that we need. I love the new conversions last night. I'll say that, when people filled with the Spirit. I love when people are born again, but I also love when people who have been walking with God for years and years, He does a new thing in them. And He comes upon them with the anointing. And those old bones start feeling better. And they can stand up and prophesy, or they can go to a neighbor's house and minister. And they can fulfill the ministry again that God has put on their hearts. And if they cannot, then they will intercede, or they will just do whatever God has. I had a woman that was 95 years old in our assembly, and I loved her to death. And we called her Mama Sharp. And she, after a message or something, would come up. And in my case, she would talk to me and said, you know, I got work to do. I said, what's that? And here I can see this woman in a rocking chair and sipping milk, but she wasn't like that. If you've been over her house, you know that she was right vibrant. But she says, I need to take what I've heard today and go home and let the Spirit of God help me work on it. Saints of God, I think we give up too early. God is ready to use us no matter what age we are. We need maturity in some areas, and He teaches us that. But you, those in the elderly area, which I fit that category now, I hate to say that, but I do. But I'm glad God gave me the strength that I have right now, and I'm going to go into my aches and pains that we could all sit and talk about, oh, my nose hurts or my ear hurts or whatever. But no! God takes us like we are, and He still uses us. And I want to give you a little bit of a message here and kind of fit yourself in this, what God is doing in this church and in assemblies, in your home, if you live alone or if you're with others. Let God speak to your heart as it spoke to mine. Isaiah 61 verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God. Who is the Lord God? We talked about the vine, didn't we? Being hooked into the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. But who is the husbandman? The Lord God. And the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. How is he going to do that if not through his chosen ones who are going to praise him no matter how bad they feel or how good they feel? They're going to show forth the praises who have called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a daily walk. Revelation 21 verse 5 says, and he that sat upon the throne, here is the Lord God Almighty again. Behold, I make all things new. Is that for the end of the age? Or is he still making things new? I have to believe he's still doing it, and he's got more for us in store. But we got to walk with faith, believing that whatever state we are, as Paul said in Philippians, therefore I will be content. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Our God is faithful. He is true. And when you walk before him, he will show you faithfulness and truth. Isaiah 43 verse 19. And even in these meetings, we already heard about the wilderness. But I want you to see it in a new light this morning. Or an old light. Whatever how you want to do it. I'm just a messenger. Praise the Lord. Behold, Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. We've been saying that for ages. Saints of God, don't belittle what God has said. I will do a new thing. I believe it. Yes. Now it shall spring forth. You mean in this dark age when there's nobody caring about God and the landmarks are being destroyed and everything is going, yes, yes, yes. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? If you walk with God, you'll see it. Because he says, he's given us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that will understand. We have an open heart to believe God's word, for the testing time is now at hand. Remember what Jesus said, come and follow me. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You got to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that will understand. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Hear me. That can be the wilderness of land where our houses are empty and we have to go out into the wilderness. Or it can be the drought in our hearts, the wilderness that we feel because we're alone. I will make a way for the you and for the church in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. Oh, hallelujah. Our God reigns. He's going to take care of his own. Stand forth and believe. Don't give up heart. He is here. Hallelujah. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the jackals and the owls and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give what? Drink to my what? My people, my chosen, verse 21, this people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about if the building's going to collapse. Don't worry about if the home's going to collapse. God will make a way. Excuse me. But sometimes I shout and I God will make a way. Believe it. Hold on to it. Believe his promises. That's how I make it. Some days I said I can't. I'm getting more of these elderly things. And I said, Lord, how am I going to keep going? Don't worry about that. I'll make a way. As long as he needs me, he'll use me. And when I can't go, I do what I can, what I can do. And then let him have the rest. Waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Give my people to drink, my chosen. These people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Praise the Lord. You tried to prophesy this morning. I heard it. But keep trying, sister. That's what usually happens. But I would just remember the couple of things you said, and I just want to, I'm talking to her personally because I want her to receive this too. And it doesn't hurt for me to do that because she's a fine lady. Philippians 11:20. For our conversation, you young people, where is your conversation? Where is your hope? Where is your dreams? I know you got the world ahead of you. But when does it come to a halt? When do you stop building? I'm talking to the middle-aged and the old ones. When do you start trying to build castles and big landmarks in this old dying world? And I say that lovingly. Because I like a good flower too, and I like a good tomato in my garden. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven. Do we think that way? From whence? What are we doing? We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we look for him? Why are we here today? Are we searching for him? Do we long for him? This says in verse 21, who shall completely change? A new thing? You say, well, I've already been changed. Who shall completely change our vile body? Oh, I don't have anything wrong with me. No. When's the last time you got upset with somebody pulling in front of you? When's the last time somebody stepped on your toes? When was the last time a little envy got up in your heart because somebody got in front of you and did it when you wanted to go? I have problems. You have problems. God says, I will completely change our vile body. And what are we going to, he's going to change it to? And fashion it like unto his glorious body. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we want. These bodies are going to fall away, but that which is of God shall abide forever. shall fashion into his glorious body according to the working whereby he's able to do all things into himself. If we can believe that and stand on that and work as a body, helping one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, even more so as we see the day approaching, God will bring this body through the wilderness of wherever he's taking us. Hallelujah. And everyone doing their ministry according to what God has given them. We used to sing this song. Are we still singing it? Lord, help us to continue to grow by faith in the things we have been taught. And one of the places in the scriptures, he said, be careful of the things that you've been taught that you don't let them slip. And I'm speaking of this little song, and it says, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I've been born again. More. Now here's, I stop right there because that's the beginning. You've been born again. But then you go on from there. Because it says now, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. And man can be woman, teenager, whatever you want to say. Don't let the gender people worry about that thing. God, I'm using God's King James Version right here. You're a brand new man. That means everybody. If you want to write this down, Matthew 9, verse 16 and 17, it talks about the garment that's old and a patch was put in it and it rent because it was too old to hold it. It talks about the bottle that new wine was put into an old bottle and the wine broke and they lost the bottle and the wine. God has given us a new garment. God has given us a new bottle. He has given us a new wineskin to put this in it, and he's continually renewing us day by day with that new wine and that bread and substance we need, and that vessel will not break. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us are baptized into his death? I said, whoa, I don't believe I like that. I want to just have a good time. Saints of God, you've got to see that we are baptized into his death if we're really going to walk with him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. How? In newness of life. We've already talked about the grain that was put in the ground. It dies this week. And it springs forth new life. But it has to die first, right? That kernel of wheat has to die before it produces. And it's a wonderful thing to know that one little bitty kernel can produce about 800 kernels or more after it comes up, becomes a full plant. And if you took all those kernels and spread them around, how many corn stalks would you have? Do you see? One can do much. If God is leading, you take yourself and let God plant you. Be planted in the likeness of his death and be risen in the likeness of his resurrection. Even so, we should also walk in newness of life. For we've been planted again in the likeness, and we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Away in the wilderness and river in the desert. In Christ, we become a new creation, a new bottle, a new wineskin, a new man. Galatians 6:15, in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. No religious practices. No, like Martin Luther did, get on his knees. I believe it was the 16th chapel, if I'm wrong, and felt like he needed to go on his knees up that 16th chapel because of his sin. And I don't know how many times he did it, for the Lord spoke to him and said, the just shall walk by faith. And it changed his life. Got off on his knees and started serving God. And you know what he did. But a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new man. New creation, created in a creation of all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that it? Can we expect things to come new to us again and again and again? I don't want to live just in my body and just what I have. I want more. I'm sorry. I want more. I want this vile body to be cleaned so it can hold his glorious body. I've got weaknesses. I've got faults, and I'll stand up here and tell you that. But I want him to change me. I want to be a new man, a new heart, a new love. And I love that when someone says, Lord, give us a love for those that are lost. Give a love for those who are out there in the world that we may look down on, which I hope we don't, but you just don't know. Give us a love for those who need you. That's the new man. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation. How is your conversation? How is your conduct? Does it represent the new man you are, or the old man still in there having his way? If I can get to it, I'll show you something about that. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I'm going to start that again. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's not a one-time thing, saints. That's continually. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Day by day by day, by the renewing of your mind. Why? God never did anything that's not for a reason. So you may prove what the perfect will of God is. He wants you to have a renewed mind and a new heart and to sacrifice yourself and seek Him and walk with Him so He can show you His will. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Christ through the Holy Spirit shall refresh us with new wine, the Holy Spirit. For the task ahead, shall we walk by faith, letting him fill us with himself, with fresh oil from the throne? His power made manifest in us for the task ahead. No matter how many times in the past, he has anointed us with himself to take on the challenges of the day and tomorrow. Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. Many were saved. Shall God come upon us from time to time and empower us again? He showed that he will. All through the ages, Pentecost was the beginning. God sent the Holy Spirit like he promised. And then we went on from there. And God did it again and did it again and did it again. Wales and Azusa Street. And I'm going to say 1948 and many, many other places, maybe on a smaller scale. But God is still at work. And the new man is still being renewed. And God has a new way for us even today. At Pentecost, was that it? Or is there a greater walk because of Pentecost? Because of the Holy Spirit? A new beginning. People were filled. And are we able to continue to walk and expect a continual burning and filling? We think because we've been filled with the Spirit, we go and just kind of lull in our way. I want to read you something here. And I hope it strikes every heart because it sure strikes mine. The great English revivalist John Wesley was once asked about his enormous success in open-air preaching in England because crowds would gather to hear him. His much-repeated response was this. Every morning, I set myself alight, and people come for miles to watch me burn. You're talking about your light? What does light come from? David talked about it, and John. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. His life in you creates the light. The more you have of him, the more light you have. The more time you spend with him, the more light you give out. Set yourself aglow. He says, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you are in a way. If you're speaking to a neighbor and you're telling them about God's love when they're down or their heart's heavy because they've lost somebody and you put your arm around them and tell them that God loves you and you love them, it's a daily thing, saints. It doesn't have to be some spectacular thing, but it is, you are set aflame. Jude 18 says, how then I told you, apostles, how the apostles told us that there shall be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be who is separate themselves, sensual, worldly, having not the Spirit. Verse 20. But. Please listen. But that word is right there. Ye, beloved, are you of God? Can you say I'm the beloved? Ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Setting yourself aflame. Oh, every morning, set yourself alight. You elderly, just put yourself on fire. God isn't through with you yet. That you might be a flame of fire. And people will come and you come in contact with will watch you glow. And it won't be you. It'll be the Spirit and the life of Christ in you. The Pentecostal experience was wonderful. But was that all? You and me, seek the Lord for a continual filling. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual
filling till what?
You are remarkably controlled by the Spirit. You seek the Lord. You be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves. Why would the Lord say in the Scriptures, be filled with the Spirit to those Spirit-led people? Because He wants you to continue. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing it to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Glory to God. And be filled till you are remarkably consumed by the Spirit of the living God. That He will change your vile nature into His glorious nature. Line upon line in a way that you can only be handled between you and Him. He is changing you. I like the article about you can be perfect, but yet it takes time. I think David wrote on part two of that, it takes time. It takes the Spirit to go in to a new man and a new heart. The carnal things are still dug in there. And He works on them. What does He say? He says, I give you the Holy Spirit. Why? So that He can mortify the deeds of the body. Help you mortify them and put them to death. So that you can walk in newness of life. He helps you overcome, young people. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're down, get on your knees and cry out to God. Oh, Lord, fill me again. He can fill you right there in your home. He can set you afire. And you can have a new step, a new walk, a new spring in your arms, even though you might not be able to. But hallelujah, God is able. Amen? But I want to give you an example. And it's about... And it has to deal with the Temple Beautiful and the Apostle Peter and John. And it's found in Acts 3. You think that you can go about your daily life and you'll be all right. And if I get stirred up, then I'm just going to go out there and save the world. I'm going to go out there and do this. I'm going to go out there and do that. But what have we learned this week and learned about every camp? Those that are led by the Son of God, by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. There is a time for us to do things. Make sure God is leading, and when He does, do it. Amen? Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame, don't you kind of to cue in on this, I know that there's a lot of emphasis on this message, but cue in on this right here. This is the basis of what I'm trying to talk about. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the Temple Beautiful. Oh, how many times did the disciples walk in the temple and that man was laying there? I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, because God is showing us something here. How many times was that man looked upon by so many Christians, so many people that claimed they were God? And I don't even know whether the Lord went in the temple and that man was there. I just wonder. But if you look at it like there's a time and place that God has for him to move, and he has a purpose for everything he does, then it was not the right time for that man to be healed anytime except right now. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Then Peter grabbed him by the hand and says, I'm not going to give you anything but what I have. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, and strength came to his legs. And what happened to him? He came in walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And people all over the place came rushing in. It got so probably pressing that the man started grabbing hold. It says in the scripture, he was holding on to John and Peter. What is all these people coming to? But a great miracle had happened. At God's time. And the miracle came. And what usually happens after a miracle? Persecution. People that want to go against it, right? And it's going to get worse. Be prepared. Continue to be bold. But I'm going to talk about boldness for just a few minutes. And when they laid hands on him, and this was the man that got upset with him at the temple, and threw them both into the prison or the hold or everything. Howbeit, verse 4, and I'm just kind of going through it because I don't have time to read the whole thing. It's a beautiful thing. Please read it. You'll enjoy it. Believe, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. They saw this man be healed and believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. That's the reason God chose that moment. He had 5,000 souls he was ready to save. If you can see it as God sees it, then you know, well, Lord, you may not do it now. But I believe that you will, and you'll use whatever body minister to do the right thing so that you can be glorified. Ananias the high priest and Cephas and John and Alexander and many of the rest were the kindred of the high priest were gathered at Jerusalem. And they asked the apostle what was going on. Peter, again, filled with the Holy Ghost, told them of God's power through the name of Jesus has healed this man. And they were so upturned, oh, you can't do this, all this. So when they had further extremely threatened them, and here's Peter and John says, well, is this going to be like Christ? Are we heading for a crucifixion right here? Can you imagine your mind when you're severely threatened by the very ones that are crucifying and doing things like that, what happens? You kind of get shaky a little bit, don't you? So they had further threatened them. They let them go. And being let go, where would you go? You'd go back to the brethren. You'd go back to the church, wouldn't you? You'd go back to your comrades, wouldn't you? And tell them what the chief priest said. And I want you to look at verse 24. Pentecost had already come, had it? People were filled with the Spirit. Wonderful things. But there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more. I'm going to start at verse 4, chapter 4, verse 24. I'm going to just go back to 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and prayed. They called a prayer meeting. They said, let's get together and pray. We got persecution coming. We're going to pray. When they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord. Everybody was in sync. And said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For truth against the holy servant Jesus or child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Lord, in one accord they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants, not that they would be taken out of the thing, but they would have something that they needed, that you need, I need. That with all boldness they may speak thy word. Hallelujah! By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, well, you only got filled with the Spirit one time. When they prayed, the place was shaken. When they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. When you have these things come upon the church, let us get together and pray for the Spirit of God to come in and take over and hear our cry and give us boldness to proclaim your name. What is the conclusion of this matter? Continue to pray. God ain't through with you yet. I don't care how old you are. Seek the Lord. And I want to say that because Caleb was 85. And God said, Joshua. Joshua said, what land do you want, Caleb? I figured he'd take some easy resting place to get over there and wet his toes and all that. He says, I want the land of the giants. You say, well, I'm 85. I got all arthritis. I'm not going to do that. No, the Spirit of God was the same as he was 40. And if you pray and the Spirit of God needs to be on you to do a certain thing, it'll be there, saints of God. You may not be able to do anything but pray, but we need intercessors. And I hope you won't hold me too much. I got to say this. 1975, I sat in this place with my wife and daughter, which was 4 years old. And my brother Barney and his daughter at feast. And there was a prophecy that went through this place. And it is still with me today. Saints of the living God, gross darkness has enveloped the land. Gross darkness is coming against the church. And I would say unto thee, if you would intercede, then that darkness will be lifted and life will come into the church. And that's still true today. We need the intercessors to go in their closets and be filled with the Spirit and pray until he lifts the burden. This is God's body. Had to get that in. What is the conclusion of this? Continue to pray, seek the Lord, come together in unity, get rid of all the rifts. Talk about forgiveness. Get these rifts gone. Let the Spirit of God come in us and root out that which is vile so that God's glorious body can be in us. To intervene when the enemy tries to come against the church, pray in the Spirit as much as you can. Trust God to act on His Word. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 through 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody into your hearts to the Lord. Continually. A continually filling of the Holy Spirit until we are remarkably consumed. Being filled with the Holy Spirit much in every way, it means constant filling, quickening, and being quickened with new life continually. And I'm going to take you one step further. By what this man was saying, it was in the Wigglesworth book, if you want to know. And I like Wigglesworth, but he was a man of his time. He said, to be filled with the Spirit is wonderful. A greater thing is to be controlled by the Spirit. When you are controlled by the Spirit, then you've given your all. Then you ain't got to worry about whether you're in the Spirit or not. You're controlled by Him. Romans 8, last thing, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to your mortal bodies. I don't care what age you are. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in me, I need that quickening, which is life. Praise the Lord. Quicken these mortal bodies by that Spirit that lives in me.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.